This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 1st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. More companies are being targeted by hackers, and successfully. But there have almost certainly been more breaches than have been made known to the public. Companies aren't always required by law to disclose these attacks. So when should companies be required to say they've been hacked? That's a debate that's been growing in Congress. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti will give us the details after these headlines. Speaking in Pittsburgh yesterday afternoon, President Biden lifted the curtain on his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan, and tech plays a key role. The proposal allocates $50 billion for the American semiconductor industry, which has been grappling with a chip shortage that's forced automakers to cut production. It also includes money for expanding broadband access, incentivizing electric vehicle production, and investing in research and development. Here's Biden citing the historical precedent for spending on R&D.
When NASA created Apollo's digital flight control system, unheard of at the time, it led to technologies that help us today to drive our cars and fly our planes. When NASA invented ways to keep food safe for the astronauts, it led to programs that have been used for decades to keep food safe in supermarkets. At least 2,000 products and services have been developed and commercialized as a result of American space exploration.
The outline now goes to Capitol Hill, where lawmakers will hammer out the specifics. And when you make your first trade on Robinhood or cross some other milestone on the online brokerage app, digital confetti rains down on the screen. At least it used to. Robinhood announced yesterday that it would be removing the feature. Instead, they'll be rolling out graphics more geared towards educating users. The move comes as Robinhood prepares to go public later this year, and it's being seen as part of the company's effort to address some of the criticisms that have been leveled against it. Here's our reporter, Caitlin McCabe, with more.
Critics began seeing the confetti as one way that the company gamifies the investing experience. So as we've seen all these new traders in the market, there's been a lot of focus on whether trading platforms and Robinhood specifically make it too easy to trade or whether they enable risky behavior. And so the confetti sort of became a symbol of that. We saw, you know, Massachusetts securities regulators last December filed a complaint against Robinhood where it referenced the confetti. And the issues come up, you know, again, recently in front of Congress. And so in the conversations that I've been having with Robinhood, basically they said that the confetti had become what they're calling too misconstrued. And so they decided to spin it off with these new designs that they say will give investors more context.
All right, coming up next, lawmakers are working to update rules about when and how businesses disclose cyber attacks. What they're considering after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Last year, we learned about a massive cyber attack where hackers exploited a backdoor in a software update from a company called SolarWinds and were able to get inside tons of U.S. businesses and government agencies. In the wake of that attack, Congress is taking a fresh look at the laws that govern how and even whether businesses report those kinds of attacks. But it's a politically fraught issue, and lawmakers will have to balance a range of concerns from the public and private sectors. For more on this, our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti joins me now. Hey, Dave, thanks for being here.
Hey, Amanda.
So this might seem like an obvious question since we're still dealing with the fallout of this massive SolarWinds hack. Can you just break down why there's this newfound sense of urgency to update existing regulations?
Well, it's important to sort of understand how the U.S. government learned about the SolarWinds hack, which is to say it didn't. The only reason why we learned in December that there was this really big cyber incident happening is because FireEye, a well-known cybersecurity firm, noticed that there was a breach on its servers. They decided to report that to intelligence agencies and to the public more broadly. You know, neither of those disclosures was obligated under law. So now we have this growing discussion among cybersecurity experts, among lawmakers, and increasingly executives from other types of corporations saying there actually needs to be some sort of mandatory reporting in the event of a similar incident in the future. So you would actually have companies such as FireEye, for example, legally required to share that sort of information.
And what's our starting place for regulation here? You know, what laws exist now to regulate disclosures about cyber breaches?
So it's really a smattering. If you look at, you know, companies in different highly regulated sectors, so defense contractors or some financial services companies in specific states, under agency rules, regulator rules, some of them are required to report incidents, whether they have, you know, potential threats on their computer systems or bona fide data breaches. But across the United States, there isn't sort of a unified federal standard for how companies should actually report cyber incidents, whether that's sort of data being stolen from their servers or potential attacks coming, say, from nation state actors, for example. So it's really this patchwork of state by state laws with data breach notifications. And the question now is whether Washington actually needs to unify those into some universal requirement for companies to abide by.
Yeah. And when it comes to new regulations, what's on the table? What's being considered?
So lawmakers from both parties have suggested that they're willing to consider rules like this. And some Democrats in both the House and Senate are actually exploring how to structure these sorts of rules. But how to do that is really, really contentious for some of the, you know, obvious reasons. Number one being, you know, what information is required under such a law? What types of threats would companies be obligated to report? And most importantly, what companies would actually be covered by this sort of law? You know, depending on how you cut the deck with that last definition, a company like SolarWinds, for example, might not even be covered on a regulation like this. So it's really an open question of how lawmakers who are exploring this sort of thing actually come out and actually form these definitions in a legal document.
And are there areas of clear consensus and areas where there's clearly disagreement?
Well, there is an emerging consensus among, you know, lawmakers, the cybersecurity community, even some segments of the business community. There needs to be some breach notification requirement like this. But in terms of who it covers, like I said, it's still really up for debate. So there's two, you know, broad areas where this could sort of take divergent approaches. One is a potential requirement for basically all businesses in the United States to report theft of personal information. So say I have an account at a local credit union, they somehow lose my date of birth and my address and whatnot, that credit union would have to actually report that publicly so I would know that my data was stolen. The other aspect of this, which is way more contentious and way more important, arguably, for cybersecurity of the US, is whether we designate a specific group of important companies, whether they're in, you know, utility industry, the financial services sector, transportation, et cetera, as quote unquote critical infrastructure and obligate those companies to actually share this data with the government. That's what people are really trying to parse out at the moment. And there's a lot of different approaches in terms of how you form those definitions, which could really matter in the long term.
So where is the private sector in all of this? How are they responding to the possibility of more regulation?
So there is movement toward accepting that there needs to be some of these rules. There have been proposals in the past to do this sort of requirement. In 2012, 2014, 2015, there were various lawmakers who proposed this sort of obligation for companies. And it withered, you know, because of opposition from the business community and different lobbying groups, as well as some civil liberties advocates as well. You know, now there's more momentum behind this because of the SolarWinds hack and more recently this hack of Microsoft Exchange servers. Part of the reason why is because you have this situation where hackers targeted a third-party vendor. In some cases, it could be an obscure vendor. And then the ripple effects from that attack can spread outward across the entire economy. So I think there is a growing realization among the business community that, hey, if we do actually provide some level of information, it could benefit us in the long term.
And for those companies that are still, you know, more hesitant, what's their perspective? I guess, why would a company be reluctant to disclose that it's been hacked?
I mean, there's a few reasons for this. I mean, number one is that it's a new set of obligations for a company. You know, when a company discloses a data breach, that's not a good look for their cybersecurity, even if they do have proper cybersecurity measures in place. So with SolarWinds, for example, it was specifically targeted by some of these suspected Russian hackers. Since disclosing that hack, and as the investigation has been ongoing, their stock price has really dropped from where it was before all of this went down. So there's one aspect of it, which is financial. And then there's another aspect of it that just has to do with potentially expansive surveillance by the U.S. government. The tendency within the intelligence community, national security circles, has generally been to ask for more information from the private sector over the last 10, 20 years. So you do see it as well, some civil liberties advocates saying, hey, the government already allows voluntary information sharing. And so they should focus on bolstering that as opposed to actually instituting these legal requirements to expand surveillance to the private sector in this way.
So where are we with legislation now, and what happens next?
Well, lawmakers from both parties are considering this. They're meeting with cybersecurity experts in different companies and with an eye toward potentially writing bills this year. You know, in addition to that, the Biden administration is preparing to roll out an executive order on cybersecurity, which administration officials tell us could include potential ways to facilitate some information sharing that I'm describing between IT vendors, so say companies that run software on government systems, and the U.S. government. And they are hoping that that measure would help catalyze this broader discussion and maybe add even more momentum for breach reporting requirements.
All right. That's our cybersecurity reporter, David Uberti. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Amanda.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.